Hello, and welcome to Revolutionize Your Love Life. Do you want to know more about love relationships, what makes them work, how to create the one of your best dreams? Do you want to be in a really healthy, juicy love relationship? In these podcasts, we will give ideas and practical advice to light your way. Whether you're looking for a love partner, already in a relationship you wish could be better, or leaving one that has run its course, there will be something to inspire, empower, and support you. Revolutionize Your Love Life is a fortnightly podcast where you will access the knowledge and wisdom of love experts and relationship coaches from across the world to help you find true fulfillment in love. I am your host, Heather Garbutt. Welcome.
Hello. Today we're going to talk about what makes a relationship work. And I'm with Petulia and Anthony. I met Petulia on Facebook and have been following her journey across the globe and most especially in Italy. I enjoyed her writing and the beautiful photographs she shows. We got to know each other a little better and talked about her relationship with Anthony. And this prompted me to ask them both to come and speak today about what makes their relationship work. Welcome, Petulia and Anthony, and thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's a delight. So let me tell you a bit about them. They are living in Connecticut. Part of their time is spent in Italy, where they operate a B&B. They met online almost 7 years ago when Anthony was living in Queens, New York. They enjoy traveling. Petulia teaches business and has just written the book, My Happy Escape: Adventures of a Global Sojourner. She believes that in serving each other, not sacrifice, is the key to a long-term relationship. She also believes in support over submissiveness, which will create a healthy relationship. Serving, support, and sharing are immensely important, she says. Now, Petulia is an extrovert, and Anthony an introvert. One of the challenges they have as a couple is they're both very sensitive people, so they get offended easily. And the good thing is that we don't throw insults at each other during a disagreement. We're not resentful, so even in an argument, we can let things go. And this is next piece is from Anthony. He believes that in relationship, each person must be selfless. Anthony states it's important to understand each other's personality to communicate more effectively when there's a misunderstanding. Quoting him here, he says, "We're not perfect, but that what sustains us is respect, love, genuine care, patience, enjoying each other's company, valuing each other's strengths, and making up where the other lacks." These are amazing words of wisdom to begin with. I mean, I'm so delighted that you wrote them to me, so I get a real feel for both of you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. The
most important question everybody wants to know, well, how did you meet then?
Well, I was transferring from, I used to work for the United States Postal Service as an operations manager. And I transferred from one facility to another. So I had about a 2-week hiatus, you know, off time period. And what I did was I went online. I was single at the time. So I went online and I found this app called Zoosk. And I said, all right, let me try to see who I could find. Maybe I'll send a message out there to the universe, you know, and see what I catch, like when you go on fishing. You know?
And Aziz was doing that. I also went online. It was actually one of my sisters several months prior told me to go online. I was hesitant. I was, you know, I'm traditional in the sense that I still want to meet someone face to face. You know, I'm not going online to meet someone because I consider myself like an authentic person. I want to see you, connect with you in person. Nevertheless, I took her advice and went online. And I've, you know, before Anthony, I dated, not date per se, but I went on a couple of dates. Some of them I had to run away from, of course. And so that night when we met online, I was actually about to get off. I was fed up. And I think that was the moment you connected with me.
Well, yeah, I was sitting on the couch and I was sending, you know, messages to prospects, you know, and some messages were similar, some messages were a little different. And then Petulia responded to one of my messages. And then we began to have a dialogue in which, you know, we started talking for hours and hours and hours.
But I will tell you why I responded to that.
That's your idea.
It was thorough. It wasn't a hi, how are you? It was a paragraph.
That I know now you copied and pasted probably to everyone. No. But nevertheless.
No, not to everyone.
No, it wasn't. You know why? Because that one was particularly unique because he did highlight my travels and mentioned that he admired that. You know, so just from the way in which that message was written, I could tell that there was this guy respected me. You know, he respected my travel. He seemed as though he was interested, not necessarily in traveling, but he was respecting and valuing who I was as a global traveler.
Well, when I, like I said, you know, I was, you know, not to be funny, but I was cutting and pasting messages to different women, you know, but at the same time, on many of their profiles, I was reading, you know, trying to see who are they. What are they about?
Good.
But then I came to her profile and I saw that she was in different countries, even though I wasn't a traveler at the time, but I could tell it wasn't the US, you know, so it was different countries. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. It's very interesting. So in depth, I started, you know, writing. Like she said, I wrote a paragraph and there we go. And then we spoke on the phone for numerous hours. And then afterwards, I think it was a week later, we met in Manhattan. And the rest is history.
I think it's 2 weeks later.
Well, maybe
more or less, yes.
But I think it was about a week and a half, something like that.
Yes, but you know what you missed, though? That same night when we were texting, really, I was on my computer. And were you texting or on your computer? I think you were on your computer, yes, because you were home. So we were communicating through writing, of course. We actually stopped at one moment and started talking on the phone. The same time we met, because it's as if we had so much we wanted to say, and we were genuinely not—I wouldn't say curious, but excited about the conversation, and we just were eager to just connect and share more. And it wasn't just about us in an intimate way, like, you know, it was broader. It was broader.
Well, the thing is, you know, when you're texting someone, you don't hear the emotion in the voice. You don't hear if that individual is authentic, inauthentic, faking it, you know. But when you talk to someone on the phone, you know, and you hear the person's voice, you really can't fake anything, you know, you're just talking.
Right.
You know, and
it's true.
You have to be real.
Yes.
You have to be real. So I don't mind the text, but after a point, I want to hear the voice now.
And I think just from the text, though, we realized that, wow, I want to get to know this person more. And we didn't play games like, oh, let him wait for a week. No, we just got on that same night. And I think we talked for 5 hours or like 3 or 4 hours. We were just so happy. We were like big, you know, kids in a way, really talking back and forth and just genuinely excited.
The dating app is excellent in this day and age, you know, but I think it creates a disconnect, you know, at first, because people play games, men and women play games. They change their profile picture. They show a picture of 20 years ago or 10 years ago. You know, I had that issue where I went on a date and the person did not look like what the picture presented. And I was like, oh, who's this? Right. Who's this? But, you know, being respectful, you know, I went to dinner, you know, had a good chat, but then it was like, goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye. But not in our case.
No.
Not in our case, because, again, we connected authentically through writing and by communicating. And we were both genuinely just excited to connect and meet each other. And so we met up in New York. I took the train. He drove from Queens to Manhattan and I took the train into Manhattan and we connected there. And the moment we met, it was just like, hi, you know, and we were so happy and we went walking in Central Park and it was beautiful. Yes.
No, it was a good experience. It was a good experience.
And I know every relationship is different, and I'm a little detailed. He was, you know, it's costly in Manhattan when you have to park and pay for little things here and there. So he was doing most of that. So when it came time for lunch, you know, I paid, but then I said, let this be the last time that I pay when we go out to dinner from now on. And Anthony, I love, he says, okay. You know, and, you know, it's just something I wanted to say. Maybe it was a test. I don't know. But, you know,
it's one of those things. It is one of those things that seems to matter.
It does.
Well,
When did you know that you were the one for each other, you know, after that point? When did you know?
I think probably soon after that.
Like when exactly? I think it was so
natural. I can't pinpoint a date and time, but you just know because you speak to the person. You know, we spoke to each other. We got to know each other. You know, we had that feeling, you know, that, wow, we're comfortable with each other.
Yes.
It's about comfort too. So we say, okay, we have things in common. There are things we don't have in common. It's okay.
And we didn't have to change ourselves at all for each other.
No, we were just authentic, you know, because, well.
I never felt like I had to change my personality or because I'm a very strong, confident, happy, bubbly person, an extrovert. And
you'd never guess.
And Anthony is the mellow, calm person. And I love how we just complement each other. Like he embraced that about me, my energy. And I love his calm self because sometimes he sees that I'm anxious. And he would say, how are you doing? You know, like in that was like, are you okay? You know, all the time. It just looked at me a certain way. And I'm like, I'm fine. So I love, and he, you know, I love that, he's very sturdy. He's very calm. And so he kind of balances me. I want to say balances me a little bit. And I do the same for you as well. There was a moment though, when we had challenges in our relationship where he was dealing with a lot of stress from work. And so there was this moment and also, some challenges. I'll leave it at that. And it wasn't our relationship per se, how we feel towards each other. But you know how people come into relationships still with a lot of traumas or a lot of issues at work. And it's
absolutely
exactly. So it became overwhelming for me. And I took a job in China. And I just felt like it's you know what? He's not like at the first I said, he's not doing enough to just pull me and say, I want you no matter what. And I left and I went to China for a year. I want to say an academic year, really, that's about 8 months to teach. And when I was there, we didn't really speak a lot. Nevertheless, I was always thinking about him and he was always thinking about me, but we only knew this, you know, upon my return. But the moment that I knew that, I think there's several moments that I knew that he was the one for me was when we went out with my dad. Remember, we went to a market, like a Whole Foods market with my dad. And daddy said to me when he was alive, he said, I like him. And I'm like, daddy never likes anybody.
He would say, take it easy on him. Take it easy on him.
And that's another thing. I was very surprised. That's when I knew daddy approves because daddy even said, daddy turned to me and said, take it easy on him, dear.
So every time if we would have some kind of disagreement, I would say, remember what your father said, take it easy on him.
And then I would feel so badly. And I'm like, okay, I promise. You know, so he plays that little game. Like, remember what your father said, take it easy on me.
Look, every relationship has arguments. Every relationship has fights. You cannot, there's no way of avoiding them. The question is, after you have that disagreement or argument, how do you come back from that? Mm. That's the question. How do you come back from that? Because in any relationship, that's what's important. You know, and for what else, it's about communication. Communication and understanding each other.
Remember what I said too, is like, yes, people can say, I'm communicating, but it's not working. But then how do we communicate? Like, yes, there are times we have heated discussion, either like every relationship. And he would, at least in the beginning of a relationship,
I would leave.
Yeah. And I would be so angry. Like, he just walked out on me, you know, but he just needed his peace, you know, but he just walked out. And
I don't leave anymore because it's exhausting. You know, so I just stay. I stay, you know, because, like, you know, I have to confront this.
And one of the things we talked about for years is coming back and centering ourselves and realizing that, I think you said it once, Anthony, like, we're not against each other. And I would say, yeah, we're not. We will say the same thing in a different way. It tends to be the way we communicate and sometimes just misunderstanding. Not that we have an opposite perspective. It's just simple misunderstanding. And I think when we get our emotions get the emotions out of the way, we start to communicate much better.
Well, sometimes when we argue, you know, you have to take a break. You have to take a time out, as they say, a time out.
And you absolutely do. Because the blood needs to go from the fight place at the back of your head back to your cerebral cortex so you can think.
Sometimes otherwise you're in panic. Give me five minutes. You know, it's not because I'm trying to think about something. No, I need to relax. I need to rest my mind. And then I come back in a rational way. And that's, I think that's very important. And it's worked, you know.
I agree.
I have to interject sometimes.
I love that.
She's so much of an extrovert. I have to get some words in.
I love that. And that's one of the things we argue about. Sometimes when we're discussing something, we're trying to understand a situation, I will find myself doing all the talking and I'm like, Anthony, say something, please just jump in. So I'm very happy that you're interjecting, right? He's happy.
Sometimes it's hard.
But going back to that question, Heather, another moment when I realized that I love him, I really love this guy. And I'll tell you, when I love him, was when, again, going back to China, my father fell ill. And it's about a 24-hour flight to come here. And my father, and I was so scared that daddy was going to die that moment. And even though Anthony and I were not speaking, we weren't angry at each other, we just weren't speaking. He was the one I called. I have several brothers and sisters. But he was the one I trusted to go and not only see my dad, but give me like a thorough update on how he was doing. And I called Anthony. Of course, I was sobbing. You know, I was crying so hard. And I called him and said, Anthony, can you go see my dad? You know, and explain this. I explained the situation. And he was like, okay, I'll, you know, and you worked about 13 hours a day. He worked a lot and he was willing, like in a heartbeat, like, okay, I'll go see your dad tomorrow, you know, in that.
Yeah, I was at a diner and I just finished paying and I was heading outside and then I received a phone call and then I said, no problem, you know, because there are some things that you have to look beyond. You know? This is a person who our father is ill. So how could I, whether our relationship is good or bad or indifferent, whatever, how could I not? Yeah. So I said it was a good thing. It was a good thing to do, you know. And I cared for her, so why not?
And I think when I came on that 24-hour flight, the next day, or you know, we connected again.
Correct.
We connected in Daddy's room at the hospital, and it was that moment. I'm like, I'm not leaving him. I'm coming back when I return from China, permanently. That's it. We're going to have a relationship and I will make sure we deal with whatever it is to ensure that it works. And it took, and you know, Heather, it's interesting because a lot of women feel like the guy has to be strong all the time. And you know, sometimes I realize I'm the stronger person. You know, I mean, he's strong in his own way and I'm strong in a different way. And for the past 5 years, Anthony can tell you there are times when I had to coach him. I had to just put on a face, like, I don't want to say, just sit him down and say, let's talk about your anxiety, Anthony. Let's talk about your child. Let's talk about some traumas that you've had to deal with. And he respected that.
Well, because everyone, as a man, you know, we're supposed to project, you know, strength, power, whatever, you know, and which is true. Men are strong, but we also have weaknesses and we have to be able to admit that we do have weaknesses, that there are things in our life that we cannot cope with, you know, because we don't have that. I can't go to my male friends and say, hey, you know, I have this sad story. It doesn't work that way in any culture. It doesn't work that way. You know? So women have that beauty that they, you know, they can get together, they can cry, they can share intimate stories, but we can't do that as men. It's a shame. We can't do that. It's just a fact, you know. So there's no release. There's no relief, so we need that partner, that woman, to hear our story and to guide us too.
And that's what he's allowed me to do over the years. For the past 5 years, 6 years, and there's so much that he has shared, his childhood traumas, and even traumas during adulthood, and also at his work. You know, he's cried. And I think that's where we come in to as partners, as women, not expecting the guy to come in as what they call it, warriors and just amazing lovers and amazing being, because they're carrying so much. And I felt, I can't speak for everyone, but that's my strength. My strength is coaching, guiding. And so I had to wear that hat sometime in this relationship, because at the end of the day, I'm like, I don't want to lose him. And I want to know what's going on.
Well, the problem is, you know, let's say in my case, you know, I'm working for the government and I'm working as an operations manager. I'm working 12, 13, 14 hours a day. I'm stressed. The environment is toxic, you know, so there's always constant pressure. So how do I balance that kind of work, that toxic environment, and have a relationship at the same time, and come home and say, oh, everything is fine? No, you can't do that. You can't do that. I don't see how you can. You know, eventually it bleeds in. It bleeds into the relationship, into wherever you go. You know, you can't change that. So either you get out of the relationship and spare the partner this BS, or you have to leave the toxic environment. So I chose to leave the toxic environment.
Tell her why you left.
Well, Petulia said, oh, I give you 5 years and you're going
to
be dead.
To live, yes. To live. And that was after we, that was when we, like, I think 2 months after we met.
Yeah, that was in 2017, a few months after, you know. I was working in Manhattan and it was just a very, very toxic environment, you know. And then I had to look at myself and say, well, I'm making good money, but is it worth it if I'm not going to be around to spend it? So what's the point, you know? And Petulia said to me, she heard everything I was saying about the toxicity.
And I saw it on her face too.
Right. Because even my demeanor, mm-hmm. everything was changed. Mm-hmm. Because even the people who were toxic at work, I was slowly becoming them. I was slowly becoming them. The anger, the stress, the way they treated workers, I was the opposite. You know, I led with, I was rigid, I was detail-oriented, and I was firm, but I also led with compassion. That was the difference. I was a leader that had compassion, you know, and be tough at the same time. But many of my coworkers, you know, counterparts, they were the opposite.
And
you know,
not only that, Anthony, I think one thing you're forgetting to say is that you were being abused. So when he came into the relationship, battered.
Well, because the you know, not to stray too long on this, but the point is it was constant yelling. That was the mainstay. That's the way it was in that environment. many managers, many supervisors, you always get yelled at, and pressure. Your job is threatened.
You get cursed sometimes, and they swear
right,
a lot.
Right, and it's like, mm-hmm. how do you deal with that? You know, yeah. you can only have so much thick skin. After a while, mm-hmm. you break down.
But you don't even have to, because you're very sensitive too, and it's not.
Oh yeah, but. No. But honestly, yeah. in the beginning, when I first started, it was okay because it depends mm-hmm. on who your leaders are, you know. Mm-hmm. But then as I changed facilities, you know, and as I mm-hmm. progressed from being a supervisor to a manager, you know, the higher I went, the worse
yeah.
the pressure was, the worse the toxicity was,
yeah.
you know. And, so and, that's just the way it was.
And it's funny, when in September, that was a few months after we met, even though he didn't go into so much detail, for some reason I was able to pick that up from his face, his demeanor. And I thought to myself, this guy has, there's something like that he has to offer, that there's something, I mean, he's authentic, but he needs more peace. He's better than what he seemed, even though he wasn't a bad person, but there was something I noticed. He was struggling with something. And, you know, I looked at him and I literally said, I'm giving you 5 years to live. For some reason, I don't know where that came from. And I said shortly after, I think you should quit your job. And it may seem, it's quite unorthodox in that way for a woman you've just met to say, quit your job. But Heather, I felt so comfortable with him in our conversations. I could just tell him what I was thinking and he wouldn't take it personally.
And it was a difficult choice.
It was a difficult choice.
I had to think about it because think about it. If you're working for the government, all right,
yeah,
you have a job for life. So here was I about to make a decision mm-hmm. to give up something that I could have for the next 30 years and never get fired, you know? So that was a big decision, you know?
Yep.
But then I had to outweigh my health, you know? Will I live those 30 years?
I live those 20 years? Oh, really? I think he really believed me. I think what he's trying to say, he believed me. He took me from the moment he believed me. So anyway, we moved
forward. No, but it's true.
We move forward.
Hold on, you're a little too extrovert. But the point is, but she had good points.
Yes.
And I think what I needed was someone to be on my side.
Yes.
To say, it's okay if you leave. It's okay if you say no more. You know, and I'll support you for whatever decision you want to make and what you do after. And I think that was very important because, wow, for the first time in my life, someone actually is saying to me, quit my job or will support me leaving my job without having any, oh no, you can't do that, you're stupid, it doesn't make any sense. So that kind of support system is excellent, and I would yes. appreciate her for that.
Yes,
it's really loving. It's a loving thing to say, you know, this job's killing you, quit, and I'm going to support you even more. It's a very loving thing to say, and it feels like that really touched you, Anthony. It really touched you, spoke to you.
Oh, it did. And then the months after, I don't know how many, you know, then I decided to leave. You know, I just spoke to my manager and I sent an email to HR to solidify the deal to make sure I can't go back, you know, and I just left and I took a stroll in Manhattan. That's it. And then at first I was like, oh, what did I do? But then I said, you know what, Anthony? You have to keep on moving forward.
Yeah.
So I kept on moving forward away from the building, mm-hmm. just kept on going, and that was it. And that story ended, basically.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's very courageous, a very courageous step. And I'm hearing, you know, in the balance of your relationship, just how you support each other. You know, Anthony, you supported Petulia when her father was ill, even though you weren't together. It's a sense of doing the right thing, and the sense of coming from a true heart, some real love for each other that was personal and not personal at the same time. You know, really kind and compassionate. Lovely. So tell me now, what are the best things, the most pleasurable things about your relationship? What do you enjoy together?
That's so easy. Oh, Anthony.
Well, the pleasurable thing is that how we, first of all, support each other emotionally.
activity-wise?
Well, that's the first thing. The first thing to me is...
We enjoy being together in the same room. That's number one. Like, we're here at this moment in our entertainment living room. We are comfortable. Like, we wake up in the morning and we have our coffee together.
Well, it's the first and foremost. You have to enjoy, aside from activities, you have to enjoy each other's company first.
Yes.
That's the first thing. You know, we'll wake up in the morning, we'll have coffee or tea, we'll bring it to bed and just have a morning moment.
Yes.
Just talk about everything and nothing.
Yes.
You know, and that's it. That's the basis of it. Because before you could enjoy anything external, you have to enjoy the internal. Yes. You have to enjoy the two people that are together, which is me and Petulia.
Yes.
You know, without that, there is nothing. That's true.
We genuinely enjoy just being here.
Now, together. What we enjoy to do, well, at least for me now, I enjoy to travel.
Thanks to Petulia. I'm going to take credit.
Because she's been traveling. Petulia's been traveling for, I don't even know, 20 years, I guess, something like that, 25
more,
years.
More.
You know, and she's traveled to 40 countries. And I've only just started traveling since we met, 7 years now? So... But I'm catching up because I did 20 countries. I'm catching up. You know, as long as we don't repeat the countries that she went to, I'll be able to catch up.
There are a couple.
Yeah. So, you know, but we enjoy that first and foremost. You know, the traveling, the meeting new people, countries, cultures, foods. It's an experience.
Wines.
It's an experience. You know, and. For anyone who wants to travel, they need to, because it opens up your mind. Because you see these diverse peoples, their foods, their how they live, what they do, you know, their, what do you call their...
just way of being. The customs,
way of being. Yes. Yeah, customs. That's the word. Customs.
I'll tell you something interesting, too. I tested him the September in 2017 when we met. We had a disagreement. Again, the relationship wasn't so strong. It was few months and a lot of issues with him, and perhaps myself too. I was dealing with some stuff at work. And I told him, I said, I'm going to Mexico and I'm going for a month. So see ya. And I said to him, well, if you want to come to Mexico, I'll be there for a month, you know? So it's up to you. Bye. Ta-ta. So he actually came to Mexico, and that was the very first time he's been out of the country since you were 10 years old. Mm. But that was the very first time. I just left and I said, if you want to come, I'm there. Come and meet me there. I'll be there for a month. And he did come for
4 weeks.
For 2 days. Two to three days in Mexico.
Maybe 3 days.
Yeah, 3 days.
Yeah, because I had to tell my job, you know, so I had to tell my boss, you know, oh, I need to go. And I was trying to get a week and change, but that wasn't happening.
So anyway, that was his first global experience with me. And just, it started off with me simply saying, I'm gone for a month. If you want to come, you can come. If not, that's fine. I'm going to have fun anyway, with or without you.
But the thing is, you know, I had a choice. What was my choice? My choice was I could either stay where I was, or go see her, go see Petulia, you know. But obviously, why did I go see her? Because, you know, I had something for her. I cared for her. So I said, you know what? There's something there. So why not explore it, and why not go and seize the moment? You know.
Another thing that we like to do, Heather, is walking. We just like to get out of the house, and we take long walks. During COVID, we take very long walks. Like 2 hours, 3 hours even, we're just walking together. So that's something we do.
And road trips,
yes. Yeah. We like road trips.
Get in the car. We would drive from New York, Connecticut to
Vermont.
Canada. You know, and it would take like a good day, 2 days. But it was fun because, you know, you get to stop at different towns and meet people and just enjoy the scenery, the mountains, what have you.
And you know what? We actually enjoy ourselves, because people would say to me, oh my God, that is so difficult for partners to do. And I'm like, really? Anthony and I, we get along sometimes even better when we're just driving, when we're traveling. You know, it's like we're so connected when we're doing these things. And I said, we never even have an argument. It's as if we go into support mode for each other when we're out as well.
Yeah,
I noticed that.
That's true.
So that's something we'd like to do. What else do we like to do? I know, traveling, walking, just the simple things.
We stay together, but we also at the same time we find time to stay apart because we have our own personalities.
Yes.
You know, Petulia may like to do certain things on her own. You know, and me too. But when we come together, we enjoy each other's company, and that's key. Yes, we need that private time because who doesn't? You know, we need to think or focus or not think at all, you know, and just be at peace with each other. With ourselves.
Yes.
But I could say that when we do come together, we enjoy each other's company.
That's true. That's true.
Do you want to say something else? So what piece of advice would you give to a new couple meeting at the stage of life when you met? What would you say is the most important piece of advice you'd give?
Well, I know it's a little cliche, but the communication part is very important.
Talk about the book. Remember you make an analogy the other day about the book? Like the person's like a book and they're slowly opening.
Well, yeah. I mean, at first when you meet someone, when two people meet, you don't know the whole story, but you have to learn who the person is. Don't expect that the person that you are interested in is going to tell you their life history on that first week. It will not happen. Everyone has a timeline on how they want to tell you their story. So our story is a book. Each of our lives is a story. It's a matter of how we turn the page. So each person turns the page slower or faster, but get to know the person. Get to know the person's personality, history. You know, not in a research kind of way.
Yeah, or a rigid way.
Or a rigid way, but an authentic way.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we could ask each other questions. You know, in a relationship, we'll ask each other questions. Or sometimes, you know what, we'll have a moment and we'll be talking about a particular subject. And then it'll come out.
Trigger something, yes, a thought.
Something will trigger from Petulia,
yes.
Life, you know, yes. History, past. And she'll say something. And then sometimes I'll wake up in the morning, we'll talk, and something will come out of me.
Yes.
About something from my past or something I like or dislike or whatever issue I may have had or no issue. Just sometimes a story of something, you know, a story about something about.
Do you know what I'm piecing together? It might not be right, but the two of you have a real sense of curiosity, a real sense of adventure, and a sort of wise gaze, you know, to explore. Like it comes out in your beautiful book, and you're talking about a book, and they feel really congruent. The way you're talking about the life book and the way you have written your travel book, just so beautiful.
But it's so true, though. Every one of us as individuals, we are a book.
Yes.
We are a book. We are our own book, our own story in life. You know, it's just a matter of how do we portray that book to the ones we love.
That's true. Yeah?
That's true. And obviously, if you're in a relationship with someone, and I tell people who want to be in a relationship, sometimes give that person time. Because, like I said, some people turn those pages real quick. And say, oh, I'm this, I'm that, and this is what happened to me. And other people take their time because it's about personality too, because the personality, you know, will allow only certain things to be said. And the traumatic things in people's lives will come out when there's trust. So you could love someone, but there's also a trust factor. You trust that person that's going to take that information, use it against you. You know, because sometimes, you know, we all have our fears and, you know.
And I think with Anthony, just to be very honest, like he was a difficult person. I'm going to be honest. And you know that. You admit that. You're stubborn. He's stubborn. And he was very difficult because I mentioned in my book, My Happy Escape, Adventures of a Global Sojourner. When I started working on this book about traveling around the world globally, I did not include my life as someone who migrated from Jamaica to the US. At first, my editor said, you have to include you. And so I started sharing now certain traumas, culture shock coming to the US. Mm-hmm. And the issue, social issues that I'm encountering as a teenager, not, you know, just being very naive or trusting in a society, a new society that I was supposed to fall in love with, you know, the land of opportunity, and encountering so many different challenges, like many women or people, or someone who's migrated from a different culture, different background. So the book chronicles this journey of not only escaping, but learning to let go and moving away and moving towards that which makes you happy. Many times I'll hear people say during the writing of this book, why are you escaping? Why escape? I said, no, it's my happy escape. And I have the right to escape anything I want to run away from if it doesn't serve me. And I think that's the case with this relationship, why I went to China, along with my work, you know, my job as a professor at a particular university. So another thing that we were escaping, and I didn't want to mention it in this interview, but we have to be authentic and honest, is the first day we met, Anthony told me, oh, my family will not accept you because of our cultural differences, or physically cultural differences. And that was on our first date. So that was a shock to my system. You know, and I want to bring that up because that brought in new traumas for me in the relationship. And I was struggling like for a year, 2 years, even 3 years in this relationship. So I want people to know out there that relationship is not a bed of roses. Oh, I meet my prince and my prince charming, and oh, that's it. It's downhill from here on. No. You know, we came into this relationship, him being traumatized, you know, not only from work, but from his mother's perception of who he should be dating versus who he should not be dating in terms of what they look like or culture or based on culture. So that was a shock to my system. And I mentioned it slightly in the book. I brought it up. It wasn't the focus, of course, but I had to include that. It was a challenge for years, actually. And Anthony, who loves his mom so much, and I always, you know, growing up in my culture as a Jamaican, we were taught to respect elderly. The elders, no matter what, even if they shake you, you still have to give them respect. So I'm struggling with, okay, this woman doesn't know me, and yet she doesn't like me because she knows, you know, what I represent from a cultural perspective. So I still had to respect from that perspective, because it's a cultural thing where you have to respect those who, you know, individuals who are older than you. And so we're struggling, and I'm struggling with him too. I'm saying, well, why can't you do this? Why can't you do that? There was a moment when I had to say, there was a moment in the relationship whenever we would bring his mom up or that issue, he would get angry. He would get like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. It's a sensitive topic for him, right? And he saw it as protecting me. And he saw it as protecting his mom too. And I love the love between the mom, you know, so I've never tried it. As a matter of fact, I oftentimes say, well, when you go see your mom, make sure you give her a big kiss and a big hug. Always do that. Because there are times when Anthony just says, I don't want to see her because I just want to be with you and I don't want to see her. And I said, no, you are going to go see your mom every 2 weeks or whenever you want, and you're gonna love her, just connect with her, take photos with her, you know, no matter, even if she doesn't wanna see me, doesn't wanna meet me, it doesn't matter. I want you to have a good relationship with your mom, because when she's gone, number one, I don't want you to resent me. And number two, I want you to have great memories like I do with my dad. But it was a traumatic experience for me. And it's honestly, Heather, it is recently, maybe a year, Anthony, a year and a half, that you had a breakthrough. And we had a breakthrough in a relationship where it's like, you know what? we have to live our lives no matter what. And we know for a fact that we love each other, and that's what matters. So people, basically what I'm saying, Heather, we're going to enter relationships with a lot different issues, of course, but how do we address that? Do we love each other enough to make sure we stay together? Are we going to have someone just tear us apart? And we've chosen to be together and continue loving each other no matter what.
Well, everything is a choice in life, everything. So when I first met her, or before I even met Petulia, you know, I'm looking on the internet, and it doesn't matter what culture or color, whatever you want to call it, that the woman may be. I was just interested. I just looked at the characteristics. I looked at the beauty. I looked at who the person was. I wasn't looking at color. Let's put it that way. I wasn't looking at color, you know? And at that point, I made a decision. It's like, and here I'm coming in. I know how my family is. My family, and it hurts me to even say this, that they are racist and they're hateful people. And, you know, and I hate saying that because they're my family. They're my blood. They're the ones who created me and made me, you know? And it's not something that is easy to share, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I could tell you this, but it's not easy for me to say because they're still my blood. But at the same time, I had to make a choice. So do I go out or get into a relationship with someone that I want to, or do I only choose certain types or certain people?
That they approve of.
Right, well, obviously. We'll see that. But I still made the choice. I made the choice. You know what? I saw Petulia, and I saw her as an individual. Didn't see her as anything else, you know? And that's another point for people who are getting into relationships right now, especially in this world so diverse and, you know, heterosexual, homosexual, whatever your designation is, and whoever you're looking for or whoever you're attracted to, go for it. Make that choice. Don't worry about the world. Don't worry about family or people who love you and say, oh, that's the wrong choice. No, it's not the wrong choice. It's your choice. Now, whether that relationship works out, that's between you two now.
Yes.
It's between you two. But take that step and move forward. Because when everyone else is gone from your life who disapproved of you, it's only going to be you two. No one else is going to be around. Yeah. So, but the choice I made was clear, and that's what I wanted. And I think in hindsight, on the first day when we met and I told her that my family wouldn't accept her because they were racist, I mean, it was a little too much to give.
I think it was
a little too much to give. But I was very pragmatic, and I was like, you know what?
Mr. Rigid.
I was like, basically, look, I like you. I want to go out with you, but this is the crap that you're gonna have. This is the what's going on. So either we move forward or just, you know, say goodbye to me.
That was him putting it out there on the table, and me thinking, oh, he's exaggerating. There is no such thing like that. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. So
sometimes I used to question myself, you know, even years ago before we met. I say, well, how could one person, how could you have a family that, you know, basically racist, and, you know, and I know how they are. So, and how do I come out of this not being that, you know, I have my little ways, you know, sometimes, you know, and how I think about people and stuff like that. But all in all, I'm true to who I am. And I look at everybody in a good way, you know. I don't say, well, you know what? I don't like these people. I don't like those people, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it's just amazing, you know. And I'm proud of myself that I strayed away from that
negative element,
negative way of thinking.
And that's something he gave up. He actually, in some way, gave up. I don't know if it's for me. I think he was already drifting away from the toxicity. And he just didn't like that. So,
well, I was in a prior mixed relationship, you know, years prior, and many of my family already didn't talk to me already. So I already had that issue prior. So I already had a disconnect. So that disconnect was already there. So when I went into this relationship with Petulia, you know, it was already gone. That relationship with most of my family was already gone. The only person I keep in touch with is my mother. Because as much as I disagree with her thoughts and as much as I actually dislike her for not accepting Petulia, at the end of the day, she's my mother.
Yes.
And she created me. And how do I dismiss her completely?
No, and nobody asked for
No, I'm not saying for
and
you.
And I wouldn't allow you to do that.
And it's like, you can't.
I wouldn't.
You know, and that's the thing. You know?
Honestly, if he dismissed her, he would not be talking. I would say, do not speak to me. Go talk to your mom. Go love what I do.
But basically, so she's the only one that I pretty much stay in contact with.
Yes.
Because she's the only one that's really relevant to me. The rest of the family, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, Heather, I love what you said, Anthony, about just love who you want to love, forget the world, just connect, because you have to do what is best for your soul. And you have to, you know, if you're attracted to someone's energy, you know, them physically, their soul, whatever it is, do not let anyone rob you of that. And I think that's a great advice, is don't let anyone rob you of your joy and your happiness because of a social construct, or what I call a rigid construct. The energy doesn't know all of these things, you know? So the energy just knows you need to love, you need affection, you need to connect with a soulmate or someone, and just do that without resisting. Don't sabotage your joy because of someone else's perspective.
Yes.
Another advice I would give is be authentic, straightforwardly in your relationship with someone. Be honest. Be yourself. Don't try to say, put on an act to be liked, to be loved. Be you, because at the end of the day, I think that's what people want. Because so you allow that other person to be himself or herself. Go with the flow as well. Just go with the flow in a relationship. Remember, there was a moment too, I talk about when we're together now, is we share roles. We don't share roles because, oh, this is a guy's role, this is a woman's role. No, Anthony does the dishes because for some reason, he's just good at doing the dishes. I do the laundry. He hates like sweeping. I love cleaning. So I'm always like wiping the floors. I have hardwood floors. I love that so much. I'm like dancing around. That's my, you know, that's my joy. And I love cleaning in that way. So we do things that come natural for both of us.
Sometimes I'll cook.
Oh, yes. Breakfast.
Sometimes I'll cook. Yes. Sometimes Petulia will cook. Yes. But we share that.
We share.
Like I said, washing the dishes is nothing for me because I don't know why. I just like doing it. So it doesn't.
Yes.
I don't know why, but it's something I can do. But laundry, I can't stand.
You can't stand laundry. But you know what I haven't
been doing? Actually, only recently. Yes. I've been doing some laundry. But for some reason, I just can't take
it. Before, as a matter of fact, before he would, just up to, until like less than a year ago, he would still bring his laundry to his mother's house. It makes you so happy. And I said, you know what? If that's what makes her happy, let her do it. Because she loves to do that. So I said, why not? So what we do here, we do not create rules for each other. We don't impose any particular rules about what you do here, what you don't. We just be ourselves in whatever it is we do.
But I think the most important thing for us, you know, and for people who are just getting into a relationship, or whether the first time or the 10th time, before you get into a relationship, just like with us, you have to first be happy with yourself.
Yes.
And you have to love yourself.
Yes.
You cannot love another individual. And I know she doesn't like me using cannot and no. But the thing is, you have to love yourself first.
Yes.
Be proud of who you are as an individual.
Yes.
And you're happy with yourself. And you can say, hey, if no one's around, I'm happy with myself.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you're able to give that authentic self to someone else.
Yes. And it sounds so little strange right now, but you know how a lot of women love to put on lots of makeup and so forth. You know what? Take some off. Let the person also see you for who you are. You know, nothing's wrong with a little eyeliner, lipstick, and things like that. But I've seen people who just like, when they take it off, they're so different. So you don't want the person to say, who's that person? You want the person to connect with you naturally, physically.
Well, that was the issue with the online dating too, you know. So many people there's so many programs now, apps, where you can change your face, you could make it filter, you can make it smoother, you could change the hair color, your eyes,
even
the shape.
Lighter too.
So, you know, it really distorts who you really are.
Yes.
Now, when you distort yourself, you're really saying that you're not happy with yourself.
Correct.
That's what you're really saying.
Correct.
You know, and that's a big red flag, not for the other person, but for you. Because that means you don't want no one to see you who you really are.
Right.
And which is actually a travesty, because you need to show the world, if you want to put yourself out there, who you really are.
Yeah, this is really interesting, because that's the work I do in calling in the one. The first person you call in is yourself. And then when you're confident and happy with yourself, you call in somebody who's the same.
Yes.
It seems like, you know, neither of you have done that work, but you've come to it naturally yourselves, which is just a joy to behold. Well, I guess we've come to the end of our time, but it's just been an absolute pleasure and joy to speak to you. And thank you for being so honest, candid, kind, and just full on. It's just delightful to see such life in a relationship. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
It was such a pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Oh, thank you very much. Bye for now.
All right.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life. I'd like to know what has been your biggest takeaway from this conversation. Do take a minute and share this with us and visit us on our Facebook page. You can connect with me personally on my email at heather@heathergarbutt.com. If you can think of someone who will benefit from listening to this podcast, please do share it with them. If you have any feedback on how I can improve it, please do reach out to me, as I'm always keen to learn more. Thank you so much again for listening. And we'll meet again on the next episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life.